Turning your Bibles to the book of Matthew, I'm going to start a sermon today that I will finish up next Sunday, the Lord willing, amen. Do you ever think about the song that we sang right before that one? That I want you to be thinking about this, because today's message and next Sunday's message is going to kind of bring this to consummation. Have you ever thought about that we'll crown Him with many crowns? Oh, look at me. That we'll crown Him with many crowns, but we won't make Him the Lord of our life? Wow. I wonder why that is. Yeah. So, we're looking today at this. The plan of God is this. It's what's being carried out by God acting in history. The plan of salvation is God, what God has done in bringing us to the point that we could be saved. And we're in Matthew, the 10th chapter. And our theme verse for the last couple of weeks and the next couple of weeks is Matthew 10:7. And it says He was sending out these men the first time. He sent them out without anything except what He wanted them to do, no provisions at all. And as they get ready to go, He says, "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what they sang about, crowning with many crowns and making His kingdom the priority of our lives, and our unwillingness to do one of those things and our willingness to do the other. Now, y'all look at me and listen to this. I wonder, because if one of them cost Him a lot and the other one cost us much that we're not willing to do. Huh? What did those crown of thorns cost Him? Yet we're not willing to enter into His kingdom and make Him our king, because we know in our mind of minds it's going to cost us a lot. Amen. So, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke 9:2 says He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mark 1:14 and 15 says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" So we've looked at what preaching is. We've looked at what a herald does. A herald has something to say. He did not get up in front of the people without something to say. And listen, when preachers stand in the pulpit, they have something to say, and it is of the most substance to mankind that could be. That's exactly what preaching is. It's what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Last week we looked at what preaching does, and we began to look at the plan that preaching presents. So today we're looking at this plan being carried out by God and Him acting in history. So here's what we're told. Look at the scripture that we've been looking at. "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is near." We're told that the plan of God is carried out by what God is doing throughout history. Christianity is a record of what God has done from creation of the world and how He's going to bring it to an end. That's what the Christian message is: the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and everything in between that God has brought about. Christianity is not about thinking and seeking after some hidden mystery. Did y'all hear me? Everything you need to know about Christianity, about being a follower of Jesus, is right here. And I know this looks pretty daunting, but some of you are ferocious readers. And you read lots of books and you read all the time. So reading the Bible is not that daunting of a task. You know what Christianity is? It's listening to what God has done and what He's going to do. Amen. It's telling the people what God has done. Listen, and we know from what He's done, we know what He's going to do because of what the Bible says, and we know He's going to carry it out. Hear the gospel, the Scripture says. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're going to look a little closer at that. Hear the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the gospel, and enter in through the narrow gate. And listen, until you do that, you're going to be a miserable person. So, what were the apostles speaking of on the day of Pentecost? Acts 2:11 says this, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues, what? The mighty works of God. That's what they were preaching at Pentecost. That's what preaching is. Preaching is proclaiming the mighty works of God in creation, bringing the world to an end, and saving people. Amen? So let me say it again. We hear them telling in our tongues the mighty works of God. All kinds of people were there. And it was all being spoken in such a way that all those people could understand. So what does this mean? Martin Lloyd-Jones, I think you have the quote, says, your salvation, aren't you glad to know this? Look at that quote. Your salvation, my salvation, does not depend upon our thoughts, nor on our discovery of truth, but entirely and utterly upon something that's literally happened in this world almost 2,000 years ago. Listen, the life, the death, the burial on the 21st, we'll celebrate it. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a recorded historical event. Somebody, I saw the church sign. It came back to me after I got through preaching last Sunday. One church Sunday was about having an Easter egg hunt afterwards. The other church sign is going to slip my mind again. It says that the resurrection of Jesus is the most documented historical event that's ever happened. And we think Christianity is some side note to what else is happening in the world. Hey, listen. The God of creation is the God of Jesus Christ. He's the one that planned. If y'all been coming on Wednesday night, you'd know even the death of Christ was planned by the Father. It was planned that we might be saved. Amen? So we don't preach to those enlightened and scientific and technologically savvy folks go looking for understanding and insight. No, we tell everybody to do the same thing. Go back to 2,000 years ago and listen to this. Now, after John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. That was a time in history. 55 B.C., Julius Caesar has landed in England. Christ has come to be the King of the Jews. He's come to be the Savior of the world. It's a recorded historical event. You don't just find it in the Bible. You find it in recordings in history. So in other words, our salvation depends upon not our understanding, our knowledge, or anything else. Listen, you know what your salvation depends upon? It's what God has done in His Son, Jesus Christ. It ought to make you shout hallelujah. It depends on what He has done and our willingness to do what is called for, our willingness to make a step to go in through the narrow gate and enter into His kingdom and be saved. He's provided the way. Our part is to believe, repent, and enter in through the narrow gate and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad we're not philosophers? are psychologists or professional counselors that have to be trained in such a way as to understand salvation. That's not how it is. Listen to me carefully. We may not have great brains and great understanding. Y'all listen. But when we are told a fact, y'all look at me. Up here, please. Grandma's taking a child out. Y'all seen that before. Listen carefully. Don't miss this. We may not have great brains and understanding, but when we are told a fact, we can believe it. In John, the third chapter, he says in verses 1-8, three times you must be born again. Then he ridicules Nicodemus, this religious ruler, for not knowing what he had to do, didn't understand being born again. And then he tells Nicodemus three times, you must believe in Christ. You must believe in Christ and His death on the cross. That is a requirement. You don't have to have great intellect or IQs to believe a fact and enter in to His kingdom. There's one who has come from the imperial palace saying a son, an heir has been born to the emperor. Galatians 4:4, you've got it. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. When? When the right time came, when the time that God had planned came, it happened. The event 2,000 years ago brought about salvation. It can mean our salvation if we accept it as fact and give ourselves to it. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Who in their right mind would not accept the privilege of becoming a child of the King? Not a king. Did y'all hear that? The child of the King. And why wouldn't we do that? I can tell you why. Because we love this life and we love our evil deeds. So we need to pray that God would take that from us that we might enter into His kingdom. The time in which this was ushered in was 2,070 plus or minus a few years ago. It matters not what age we're in, atomic age, space age, age of technology. What does matter is this. The turning point in history happened 2,000 years ago when Christ died, was buried, and resurrected. It wasn't World War I. It wasn't World War II. World wars have come and gone. And listen, this would shake us up. May come and go again. Amen? But what Christ did 2,000 years ago changed history. The time in which Jesus came. The biggest turning point in history is when Christ Jesus died on the cross. You know what? It is not just the biggest turning point in history. It is the turning point in history that deals with a man's soul and eternity. Nothing, no other historical event has dealt with your soul and your eternity. So the preaching of the gospel is not an invitation to a quest. It's not an invitation to go on an endeavor or to have some wonderful thrill. The gospel says, look, this morning, come just as you are. Look back at what Christ did 2,000 years ago. I want you to know, I don't care who you are and where you're at and what you've done, Christ has provided everything that you need for your salvation. everything. This is what we call the gospel. It's what is called the work of Christ in bringing about my forgiveness, your forgiveness, bringing about my righteousness, your righteousness, my salvation, and your salvation. What's required of you? To take hold of it. To receive it as your own. The time is fulfilled. The time is here. It has come. It's arrived. It's here now. It's nothing to wait upon. Repent and believe the gospel. And because of what He has done for you, willingly enter His kingdom. Listen to me. And don't just put a crown of thorns upon His head. Crown Him the Lord of your life. When? Now. Why? Because one of these days, people who have kept putting it off will make Him the Lord of their life at judgment. Listen carefully. It'll be too late. I don't care if it's pride, ashamed. I don't care what it is. Today is the day. So here's what the Lord Jesus was saying. This is what God has been about doing throughout centuries. He has been saying He was going to provide a Savior. You remember we looked at Genesis 3:15? He says, I'll put enmity between you and the serpent. He was talking to mankind. You remember we said that's proto-evangelium, the first presentation of the gospel. You remember in the Garden of Genesis when they found out that they're naked, He went into the garden with garments of skin. He's provided the first sacrifice. He provided all the Old Testament sacrifices. You remember when He sent Abraham out to sacrifice Isaac and what was caught over in a bush? A ram. He's always provided the sacrifice. And Christ Jesus not only provided the first sacrifice in that lamb that clothed them, but Jesus Christ as the Creator, as the one that came and paid the penalty for our sins, He's provided the last sacrifice. God said, you have sinned and there will be consequences. And amen, there were. Thorns, thistles. Instead of having a baby and it just being an absolutely exhilarating, wonderful time of pleasure, all of you women that's given birth know that there's consequences to sin. Amen? Wasn't meant to be that way. But those are some of the consequences of sin. Someone has come to stand between man and Satan. There's one, listen, there was one who has come to pay the penalty for all of our sins. That same guy is going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to destroy this and He is going to take care of the sin penalty for the world and create a new heaven and a new earth. All this began to take place about 4,000 years ago with creation. Before then, when they planned it, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came 2,000 years before Christ. God gave us Moses and the Ten Commandments about 1500 B.C. And the time of our Lord and Savior arrived over 2,000 years ago. This is God acting in history, carrying out His decrees. Listen, and He's going to come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and as judge of all mankind. Throughout the Old Testament, this promise is repeated. Listen to Isaiah. Follow along. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Did y'all hear that? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Oh, so the prophet spoke, and all of a sudden, not a word was said for 500 and something years about Christ's coming. Not one thing was said. And then, hallelujah, look at John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That time has come. The Lamb of God has come from heaven. He has lived here. He died here. He was buried here. He was resurrected. And we're going to celebrate that and look at that in a couple of weeks. And He has ascended to heaven and He's waiting for that time already prepared in history by God to come again. And listen to me. Until that moment when the trump sounds, you can believe in, trust in, repent, and make Him your Savior and Lord. At that moment that the trump sounds, it will be eternally too late. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Well, I'd almost give you two invitations this morning. But I know that Tom's going to give you an invitation to repent and believe the gospel here in a little bit. So I'm going to leave off the invitation now, except for you, except for one or two of you sitting out there that know you can't wait. You know you can't wait for Tom to do a Lord's Supper devotional. You've got to repent and believe right now. Right now. I'm telling you. If that's you, I'm going to go into that room over there where a speaker is, and I'm going to go in there, and I can listen to the message if Tom preaches the message, and you want to talk about the Lord. I'm going to go over there right now. Maybe you can't wait. And I'm telling you, it is so serious that you don't need to wait. If you've never repented and believed the gospel, you need to do it right now. Amen.